Hey there, welcome to season number 2, episode number 31 of Sports Fellowship with Fox and Frank. I'm Dan Fox.
And I'm Frank Knight.
How are you, Frank?
Doing really well. How about yourself?
I'm hanging in there, you know, doing okay, having a pretty good week.
Good, good. It's a kind of a hectic day for me, but I'm glad we're getting the podcast in.
Yeah. We are, Frank and I are back to the original Sports Fellowship with Fox and Frank here. It'll just be the two of us along with Rich Vassallo.
I was waiting for you to sing that song, Just the Two of Us.
5 years old, bringing comedy. Every time I look at you, I think, man, a little me, that's like me. Wait and see, gonna be tall, makes me laugh because you got your dad's ears and all.
What's great about
Sometimes
this?
I wonder what you gonna be, a general, a doctor, maybe an MC.
Go to the Facebook page and look at Dan. It's not who you'd expect to hear this rap from.
Well, just one saying. Thing for sure, Dan knows the lyrics to almost every song.
That's not true.
Yeah, he's good. He's good with lyrics.
There are millions of songs.
It's true. Well, songs that he's heard, it seems
during
like.
During his...
My era?
Your era. Okay.
Yeah. So, here's your free rap for the evening.
Shout out to Huki and Brandon. We miss you guys. Sorry you couldn't join us tonight, but shouting out to you anyway. Little roadmap of where we're going. Do you realize, Frank, there's only 26 days until round one of the NFL 2021 NFL Draft.
Yeah, less than a month, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Not like you, but I'm looking forward to it. I know you're the draft geek and so on.
Oh, I love it. But, I can't wait.
I enjoy it.
It's going to be amazing. We always have a round one draft party at a local establishment.
Almost always.
Well, we couldn't last year because of a certain pandemic. Yeah. But, you know, it's obviously come one, come all. The night usually starts with me sitting at a very large table by myself. And then throughout the night, somewhere in the neighborhood of 10 to 20 people come and go. And then it usually ends with me sitting at that large table, but with lots of dirty plates, all by myself again.
I'd still sit there with you if everybody had left, Dan.
It's okay. It doesn't. Yeah. You know, I love it enough to be there by myself, gotcha. So it's all good.
Yeah.
So
the anyway, draft is good stuff. I enjoy it.
Yeah, it's hope. You know, every team has hope and dream of... You know, some of a better season, whether your team won the Super Bowl or whether your team has the number one overall pick, they're selling and packaging hope. And so it's exciting.
It's not even necessarily about my team anymore, you know, which it is on some level, but I love football so much. And, you know, the fantasy football aspect makes me look more forward to the draft and see what dynamic player might go to one team and then whether I would draft him or not.
Sure. So that starts on Thursday night. Thursday night, April 29th is round one of the NFL draft, and then rounds 2 and 3 are on Friday night, the 30th, and then rounds 4 through 6 are on Saturday, April 31st. So that's how the draft goes, and it's always fun and exciting. So we look forward to talking a little bit more about that in the time coming up. And then on Friday night, April the 30th, we will actually be recording the podcast while part of the draft is going on. So that'll be rounds 2 and 3 there. So we'll give you some live updates and some commentary.
It won't be
live
by the time you hear them.
No, but it will be live when we
our live reaction to it.
Yes, yes. Again, a little roadmap. We're going to talk a little bit about Major League Baseball, which kicked off and started off, the NBA, NHL, and then we want to spend a little time talking about the Final Four in college basketball, men's college basketball Final Four. The first game is being played right now between the Houston Cougars and the Baylor Bears. And then later on this evening, the UCLA Bruins play the Zags of Gonzaga University. What's crazy to me is that right now, the underdog team that the people are rooting for, the overcomer, is UCLA. UCLA, who has more men's national championships and was such a dominant team for so long, is considered the underdog, the plucky little team coming out of nowhere, versus the Zags, who for years, you know, were just thankful to make the tournament.
Yep.
And now they're the giant going up against the little, trying to smash the little guy.
Yeah, so, pretty much beating up on everybody they play, too.
Yeah, but it's just interesting that, you know, how those roles have reversed
it is.
This year that way. Then after we're done with that, we'd like to talk about the NFL. We got some things going on with the movement in the NFL draft and some teams possibly tipping their hands at what they're looking for and looking at. Then we've actually got some emails. We got some emails we're going to talk about and read live here. And then yesterday was National Peanut Butter and Jelly Day. So I'm going to talk a little bit about what type of peanut butter you like, what type of jelly you like, all that kind of stuff. And then we want to use it to reflect on the sports world. Why are you shaking your head, Rich?
He made a face, too.
I know.
Not just shaking his head.
I didn't know any idea about National Peanut Butter Day.
I guess Rich has...
Peanut Butter and Jelly Day.
Never heard about that day.
Are you against peanut butter and jelly?
No, I love peanut butter and jelly.
How can you be against...
I don't like peanut butter.
Oh, my.
I'll tell you the story.
Okay. Anyway, so... we want to talk about peanut butter. Then we want to use it to reflect on the world of sports. And yes, I am stealing that segment a little bit in that I want to say what in sports or sports history went together, like players or association with teams or whatever, like peanut butter and jelly. So that's what I want to...
Could be any sport or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
So
it's got to be two people.
Two people, two things, two ideas.
Okay.
You know, peanut butter and jelly.
Gotcha.
So, yeah. All right. So, Major League Baseball. Frank, your thoughts on the first couple games here?
Well, it's really been great seeing the Mets back in action. Oh, that's right. They didn't play. Why didn't they play? Because the great Washington Nationals had their little bit of COVID issues. So,
six players are up to now.
Yeah.
Having tested positive.
So, you know, my excitement for opening day ended up being wah, wah, wah.
Well, at least they're probably going to have time to make up those games at some
point.
Well,
yeah, but that's a burden, right, to have to play doubleheaders. So it's, you know, something that wasn't their fault, which could have been anybody. You know, now they have to deal with doubleheader situations and stuff like that. But it can be overcome. It's early.
Yeah, believe it or not, the Phillies are 1-0, which completely shocked me.
They play tonight.
Yes, they do play. They play actually as we're on the air. They're
is
in
it
mid-game.
So shocking that they won their first game?
Yes, it is. Knowing the Phillies,
162 games are going to win.
I sat down and I watched. I was watching the game, and the Phillies pitcher was dealing. He was just mowing the Braves lineup down. He gets into the seventh inning and he gives up like a dying quail hit. And so there's a guy on first base, and then the Braves go to their bench, and they bring up Pablo Sandoval, of all players, the Panda. They bring him in to pinch hit, and he's always been a guy that had a lot of power, but he couldn't stay in shape enough to be able to play in the field.
The big boy.
So he comes up to bat, and what do you know? Three pitches in, he deposits the ball over the right field wall to make it 2-2. And the Phillies lead automatically evaporated in one swing
of
the bat.
Yeah.
And I just was like, and I turned it off and walked away. And thankfully, I tuned back in because the Phillies did pull it out in 10 innings, won the game.
Harper scored the winning run.
Yes. Yeah. And so they did win the game, but I was so upset because they were just cruising. Yeah. And yeah. So anyway, this is the beginning of Major League Baseball. You can't really take anything as documented gospel at this point or anything, because everything is so fresh and new.
One interesting thing is Bauer started his first game last night.
Jack Bauer.
And he pitched, I think, seven no-hit innings, or it was in the seventh is probably more like it, before somebody finally got a hit. Not only did the first guy get a hit, but the next guy hit a home run. So
sounds Phillies-ish.
But they had a big lead, I think. So I was kind of tired, and I flipped it on. I had Baseball Network on.
Yeah.
So, you know, as cocky as the guy is and everything, and he was like walking off the field, like kind of strutting it in one of the innings. I don't know what inning that was from, maybe the fifth, but he was just mowing the opposing team down. So I think he's out to prove something, you know, for the Dodgers.
Yeah. Josh Hooks, down there, your Washington Nationals haven't been able to play yet because obviously they can't stay away from COVID. Yeah, so thanks.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, all the Met fans are very thankful.
Thanks for
to
being
you,
careful.
You know, following the protocols.
That's right.
And doing everything that was right.
I said to my coworker earlier in the week, and this is just bitter Mets fandom, that if it's shown that a team was reckless or whatever, they should have to forfeit the game.
I agree.
Because I only say that because then, you know, teams would have to show a lot more,
caution.
Caution, thank you. So, not because it's the Mets. And you don't want, it's hard to do that because now you're giving the Mets a free win. And what does that say about the rest of the competition? So, can't really do that. But there has to be some kind of repercussion if you didn't follow protocols.
Okay, NBA. NBA has passed the trade deadline. They're heading towards the playoffs. Teams are jockeying for playoff position. Any thoughts on the NBA, Frank?
Just that I think, you know, we're headed for a Nets, probably Lakers final.
Well, that all depends because the Lakers have some considerable injuries.
I think
right
they'll get their two players back and they'll roll into the playoffs and start dominating more than likely. But that is up in the air. Yeah, do you think, who's the guy in Milwaukee, the big player in Milwaukee?
That would be Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Do you think he'll get MVP? Because I heard it a little bit with the Talking Heads talking about it a bit, and I wasn't sure. I'm curious about your take on that.
I don't know enough. I know that James Harden, since he's gone to the Nets, has been playing lights out. And so, you know, do you dock him for dogging it down in Houston to get traded? Does that play a role in this, or are you just going by how he's playing now?
Well, he's certainly been huge for the Nets.
Yes, he's been playing, you know, lights out. He's really been a really good distributor of the ball, more than a shooter. He's got his points and everything, but he's done a really nice job of filling up the whole stat sheet, especially distributing the ball.
And the Nets now are doing, or have done, what is popular now, especially in the NBA, is all these guys, kind of the players communicating and players coming over to a team to make it a super team, right?
Well, those players are players that are older players past their prime, and the team buys them out.
Just the point that they're loading up, and that comes from the players, I think, primarily.
Right. Well, a number of players have still gone to the Lakers, and a couple of them have gone down to the Heat as well. So, you know, those players have been picking and choosing what teams they want to go to. None of them are coming to my Sixers.
Still kind of like what I'm seeing out of the Knicks as far as a growing team. So we'll see how they do in the draft next year and so on. But I think the Knicks are a team on the rise. So they got a long way to go, though.
All right, the NHL, Flyers stink. What else we got?
Yeah, well, my Rangers, you know, I'm still enjoying watching all their games, which I'm a fair weather hockey fan in the sense that I'm only a Ranger fan. I'm not really a hockey fan per se. I'll watch the finals. Anyway, I've been watching a lot of the Rangers this year, and I'm looking at the standings now. They are only, what?
3 points.
3 points out of, no, it's more than that.
I thought they were in fifth place.
5 points out of a playoff spot behind the Bruins. So, but they're hanging in there, and they've been playing much better lately, so I'm anticipating that they have a good shot at a run at the playoffs. And not for nothing, your Flyers, who you're putting down, are actually tied with the Rangers. So, you know, the Rangers have given them a couple of tough blowout losses, but then the Flyers came back and beat them 2-1 in another game. So if the Flyers play better defense and get good goaltending, they could be right in it, too.
Flyers stink. So yeah,
we'll see.
Yeah.
Hockey's a funny game because a goalie stands on his head, and the next thing you know, you're on a run.
I'm a diehard Philadelphia fan, except for football. So I've seen this play before.
I hear you
over and over again. So
well, we said this before, but the four top teams right now: the Capitals, the Islanders, the Penguins, and the Bruins. I mean, I can say they're all better than the Rangers. I know they are. So even if the Rangers make the playoffs, one of those teams drops, which would have to be the Bruins because they're significantly lower than the Penguins, the next team up. I mean, it's probably not realistic that the Rangers would go deep into the playoffs.
I mean, just to give you an idea of how bad the Flyers stink, Rich, Matt Gostshevsky's, shout out Matt, Matt Gostshevsky's Buffalo Sabres had lost 18 games in a row, and then they beat the Flyers.
Yeah. Well, so. The Sabres gave us all we could handle the other night, and the Rangers had handled them before. So anyway, but they play the game on ice; anything can happen.
So when teams are have like a bad skid or something, they circle on the calendar the next time they play the Flyers.
The Flyers aren't as bad as you're making out to be if you look at the division standings.
They are heading in the wrong direction in a big way. they gave themselves some cushion, and that cushion is used up, and they are heading in the wrong direction.
A lot of season
very quickly.
Left. That's all I'm saying.
So then, going on as we speak right now, is the NCAA 2021 Men's Final Four. Shout out to Victor Gyokama. Victor.
Even though we have no idea where he is in the standings.
Yeah, I haven't checked the stuff. I've had too much other stuff going on. I haven't checked the brackets in a while.
Yeah, sorry.
I will have that all for you next Friday when we declare who the winner of the bracket challenge is and who gets the $50 gift card. We will declare that on air next
week. So if you're hearing this, just know where you are. Just know that if you've got your Final Four alive, you're probably in pretty good shape.
Yes. And last I checked, Madison Althaus was in first place, and she had three of the Final Four alive in her bracket.
I do too, but you keep downplaying my greatness.
Well, you're not an eight-year-old girl.
I know, but... Well, but she's not really in the running for winning it, right?
Of course she is. What are you talking about?
Of course she is, but you just blow it off when I say I've got three or four. You never say anything. I always tell you, I still got three of my four Final Four. Oh, yeah.
I let you say it.
Well, I think it's because she's so young.
I want credit, man. I don't know anything about college basketball. She knows more about it than I do.
That I didn't know. Yeah. She knows more about it than
no,
you?
No, she doesn't.
Probably. I don't follow it at all.
No, she doesn't.
I'm skeptical that she even made the picks.
I believe she did.
Okay.
So,
no, her mom, I'm sure the parents said so. I believe it.
Well, yeah, her mom took a bracket when I had it at school, and she took it home.
Yeah, that's what you
said. Madison wanted to fill it out, so she did. And she's having the time of her life.
Yeah, good for her.
Following along with her bracket and stuff here in this tournament.
Yeah,
so
it's cool. I'm rooting for her.
Yeah. So. Yeah, shout out to Madison there. Hopefully,
after myself, of course.
Hopefully you win the $50 gift card, but, you know, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. You know, Frank may pull it off and win the gift card.
Three of my four are alive.
And that's the fifth time he said it here.
I want it to be known. I think I'm the only one in this group that's true.
Yeah, that's true.
So.
Wait, Frank, how many are yours?
Three of my Final Four are still
six.
Alive. UCLA thwarted me.
Well, UCLA thwarted everybody because most people, myself included, didn't have them winning the play-in game.
Yeah, I had Michigan Colorado playing.
They had to take Michigan State to overtime in the play-in game to win that.
Right.
So, I can't even remember what my son picked.
I don't know what happened. It's at home.
So yeah. I'm going to hit the final score right on the nose, and that'll be the clincher.
So right now, the Houston Cougars are playing the Baylor Bears as we're recording this. They're playing head-to-head. And Frank's going to give us a score update on that.
Man.
And Baylor is the clear favorite, though Houston was a number two seed, so they're no slouch or anything like that. So that should be an exciting team. Baylor's a high-flying team, very athletic, and they're the favorites in that game. And the matchup that everybody wants to see.
Ouch.
Okay, go ahead, Frank.
Baylor's up 45-20 right now after one.
After the first half.
It's at halftime.
Yeah. Okay.
25 points.
Well, that's what everybody wants to see. The matchup that all sports fans, not just college basketball fans, but that all sports fans want to see is Gonzaga versus Baylor.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's going to be really interesting to see Gonzaga's system. If Gonzaga, I'm not taking anything away from UCLA. If Gonzaga is able to win, then it's going to be very interesting to see the matchup of Gonzaga's system versus the athleticism offensively and defensively of Baylor.
Well, I've got Houston and Gonzaga in the final, so that could be my way in.
Right okay.
There. So,
all right. Well, it looks like you're only going to have one in the final.
Oh, okay. I was out of the contest like second round.
Oh, no, I was out in the first round. not second round.
Anyway.
I was done.
Again, I don't know anything about it.
I was done.
I did see Baylor play the other day, though, and I believe you're right. It's going to be them and Gonzaga.
Well, you know, again,
it's
I don't want
to likely
talk
to
at, yeah, I don't want to talk out of turn or anything,
right.
But because I picked UCLA to lose in the play-in game before the whole big tournament even started, so I've got no room to talk. But it's been a very exciting NCAA tournament this year, especially since last year we didn't have the tournament, and you know we got gypped of the tournament. And even the ladies' tournament has been pretty exciting and pretty fun to watch.
I haven't seen any of it, a number
of buzzer beaters and things. I'm just saying.
You know, UConn is back in there.
UConn just lost last night.
Did they lose? Okay.
Yeah, the finals is tomorrow. To be honest, I can't even say who's in the finals. But I've just been casually following the highlights, and there's been a number of buzzer beaters and really close games, and that's what everybody really likes.
Yeah, here's what I like about the women's versus the men's. Is the men's, a lot of it is athleticism. Not that the women aren't athletic, but the men are capable of slam dunking and so on, and it seems to come easy to them, some of those things. Whereas the women, there's more skill that has to be applied in order for them to, you know, to be excellent, right? The shooting, the rebounding, and so on. So when I watch women's basketball, that's what I take out of it. So it's not just pure athleticism.
Yes, Rich.
I heard that something about the gyms were not equal or something like that, that the women's gym
yes, the facilities.
Have, the facilities wasn't as equipped as the men's.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't want to get into Title IX and all that kind of stuff, but this is, both tournaments are made for television, and the men's tournament generates significantly more money than the women's tournament does.
Yeah, so they've got all the amenities to go with it, right? That's kind of the theory. So, but in this world we live in now, that's something that came to the forefront. You know, that's all.
True. So both Final Fours, the women's championship is played tomorrow on Sunday, April the 4th, and then the men's championship is played on Monday night, April the 5th. And so we'll know who both national champions are in the next couple of days here. So it's been exciting and fun, especially since this was the first major sporting event that was shut down last year because of COVID.
Yeah.
And we were deprived of it. And so it's fun and exciting to have it back.
Yep.
All right. So at this point, we'd like to transition. And when we transition, I turn it over to my friend Frank.
I'm going to use my cheat sheet. Is it okay, Rich?
Go ahead.
Okay. We hold this podcast at the Fox Alarms warehouse, and they set up this palatial studio for us here, and that's where we are. We're in the palatial studio now. Heater running, thankfully, because it is a little cool in here. Dan in his shorts. I'm in a jacket. So, but Fox Alarms, we want to let you know, 48 years they've been in business, and they do burglar and fire alarms. So for all your burglar and fire alarm needs, you want to go to www.foxbrothersalarms.com. That's www.foxbrothersalarms.com. You know, you really, if you own a business or even in your home, you want to protect yourself against burglary, theft, you know, or a fire. And so this is an important thing. Now, if you don't want to go online, maybe you're not a computer person, you can pick up the phone and dial 1-800-FOX-BROS. 1-800-FOX-BROS. And when you do that, you want to ask for?
Mark.
That would be Dan's illustrious brother, Mark. So protect yourself. Give Fox Brothers Alarms a call. We also want to let you know about our email, and we're going to be going through emails shortly.
Rich, do we get an email from a particular person that can teach me to habla español?
Well, not this week.
Billy Joel wrote a
maybe
song.
Maybe next week if you ask.
Does she do like any special like tutoring? Because
I haven't seen her.
I need a lot of particular attention.
Yeah. Yeah. So no emails from the famous Vienna this week.
No.
Billy Joel wrote a song called Vienna, but it's about the town.
Okay.
But yeah. So
I know he wrote one about Allentown.
He did. Anyway, so if you want to email the show, go to your computer and punch in sportswithfoxandfrank@gmail.com, sportswithfoxandfrank@gmail.com from your email, and send us a note. Maybe you want to ask a question. Maybe you just want to comment on the podcast. We'd love to hear from you. So do that. If you're a listener, if you're dedicated and you've been listening to us clowns talk about sports, we'd love to hear from you. We wanted to let you know, too, that we're on Facebook. And so you can just go onto Facebook, if you have a Facebook account, of course, and you punch in the name of the show. And, of course, it's Sports Fellowship with Fox and Frank, and the page will show up. On that page, you'll see Dan's beautiful face first, and then you can scroll, and you'll see everything about the podcast, including the podcasts themselves. So check us out on Facebook.
All right, speaking of emails, we did get three. We got a total of three emails this week, so I'm going to read the first one here. The first one is from a friend of the show, Aaron Geikema. He and his wife are our beloved friends, and they are big Detroit Lions fans.
Detroit everything
so,
fans.
Yeah, but primarily the Lions are what they squawk the most about.
They're from Michigan. That would be why.
Yeah. So Aaron says his son Victor requested an update on the status of his bracket on the next podcast. And Victor, I have not had time to look at them this week, and I was going to take care of it the early part of this coming week so that next week on the podcast we can announce who the official winner is of the bracket challenge.
Might be you.
And who, and anyway, Victor, by Wednesday night dinner, I will be able to tell you. Oh, wait, this is one of those 4-5-6 clubs.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway,
church gathering.
Yeah, eventually I will get you your brackets all graded.
Victor has a phone, just for the record.
That's true.
Yeah.
And so we will let you know, and we'll find out who won the bracket challenge next week. Also, they would like to know any updates on our tuna casserole recipes and discussion. Well, as it turns out, I do have a little bit of an update.
How about that?
Because I actually cooked something else in my crock pot this week. I actually did a pork shoulder in my crock pot.
Which has nothing to do with tuna casserole.
But it still is cooked in my crock pot, slow cooked on low.
Okay.
That's how I ruined the tuna noodle casserole.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I took the pork shoulder and I slathered it in garlic paste, like all over. I put on gloves and slathered it with garlic paste. And then I took pepper and slathered it with pepper. And then I took some garlic salt and put it on there and slathered it with garlic salt. Then I put it in the crock pot after I sprayed the non-sticky stuff and put that in there. And then I put it in at 9 in the morning, and I took it out. I took it out at 8 that night, and it was unbelievably tender. I mean, it was so...
Sounds delicious.
Yes, go ahead, Rich.
Did you have it all for yourself?
I was just going to say.
It was a relatively small pork shoulder.
Wow.
It wasn't a large one. It was a small one.
I don't know about you, Rich, but I feel left out.
Then I took it out, and as I was taking it out of the crock pot,
it fell apart.
It did fall apart in a good way, but the bone fell right out of it.
Nice.
It was just like so tender and so amazing that the bone literally fell right out of it. And I took it, and then I let it cool down a little bit, and I ate some, and it tasted okay. But then I had some honey barbecue sauce, and I put a little bit of that, and oh my word, the honey barbecue sauce made it pop, and it was so ridiculously delicious.
Good. Knock, knock.
No pictures?
I did take a picture of it cooking.
Dan, knock, knock.
Knock, who's there?
Jamaican.
Jamaican who?
Jamaican me hungry.
Well, yeah, so... Yeah, you got to put it with the fat on top so that the fat cooks down into the meat and tenderizes it further.
Nice, Dan.
It was so good.
That sounds
so good. Yeah, my next, I'm going to do pork shoulder again, but my next venture, I'm going to get some meatballs and put them in there and slow cook them within sauce. Okay. I'm going to put them in there in sauce and let them slow cook. Yeah, some sort of a marinara.
So you're going to put them raw and cook them the whole way. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll tell you what I'm doing tomorrow.
Okay, go for it.
I'm invited to an event for Easter.
Okay.
God bless you. And
I didn't see
God bless.
Easter. Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I'm going to make macaroni and cheese, Maggie's recipe.
Okay. What does that entail?
Three different types of cheese, Monterey Jack, extra sharp cheddar, and American. And I use Cooper's Sharp American, which is one of the best American cheeses you'll ever eat.
Yeah.
You put a little milk in there. You melt the cheeses. I do that in a pot.
What type of pasta do you use?
Elbow macaroni.
Okay.
I use the big elbows.
Do you use the elbows with the ridges in them? So that, no. Because supposedly if you use the elbows with the ridges in them, the sauce sticks to it better.
Yeah, it'll be fine.
Okay.
Yeah. I've heard that, but...
They keep saying it on Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the ridges definitely assist in that, but I don't know. Did they make elbows with the ridges?
They do.
I didn't see them.
Several restaurants.
Stop and Shop. Okay,
I don't know.
Stop and Shop.
I don't know where they sell them, but they have them at the restaurants on Diners, Drive-Ins,
and Dives. You could see where that would happen, right? The ridges would assist in holding the sauce.
Yes.
But yeah, this is a world famous...
well, everything Maggie made was unbelievably awesome.
This is my deceased wife. So she was quite the cook.
Yeah.
But yeah, her macaroni and cheese. I never liked macaroni and cheese in my life. She made it. I ate it. And I was hooked.
Well, it's hard not to be hooked on everything she made.
So. True. True.
Yeah.
That's why I look like I do. Still.
So anyway, that's that answer there for you, Aaron and Shauna and Victor. Please keep them coming there because we are happy to answer your questions. Sure. Then our second email is from my best friend. Not that I don't love Frank and Rich, but and Hookie.
Wow.
But my best friend is a gentleman by the name of Brian Makrovich, who is totally not overrated or anything. but
Aaron Rodgers is, though.
He sends an email to the show, and he says, who should the Packers pick in each of their 10 picks?
Okay.
So I have an answer for you, Brian.
I do, too.
Okay, go.
Trade all your picks to the Cowboys for Dak Prescott. That's what you should do.
Well, they already have two quarterbacks.
Yeah, but, you know, Dak is younger. And
not younger
Aaron's
than their
getting
other
older.
Quarterback.
So, you know, trade all your picks to the Cowboys. And we'll give you Dak Prescott. That's my suggestion.
Okay. Mm. Well, they have, in their first round, they're picking at 29. I think they should take Asante Samuel Jr., the cornerback from Florida State. Brian, you know that your Packers. Brian is actually a Packer owner.
He is.
He is a Packer. He's not just
owner.
A fan. He's a part owner of the Green Bay Packers.
Yep, absolutely.
So I think your Packers should take a corner because they love taking defensive backs in the draft. So they should take Asante Samuel Jr.
They certainly could use one, too.
After the way King played in the championship.
Burned at halftime.
Yeah, he got toasted pretty hardcore all game. Then in the second round.
It was Tom Brady, after all.
Yeah, but he was the guy was pretty wide open and stuff. So anyway, I think they should take Ardarius Washington, a safety out of TCU. The knock on him is that he's short. He's only 5'6" tall. Mm. And he ran a 4.6 40, which for a DB, that's not good.
No.
But the
quickness is almost as important as speed, though, at that position.
At safety, yes. The one guy on the Cowboys draft show who does he's a radio personality down in Dallas. This is his favorite guy in the entire draft, Ardarius Washington.
Okay.
Then going to go with Brian would say some beef in the third round with Tommy Togoi, the defensive tackle out of Ohio State. Supposedly Dallas has their eye on him as well. They're looking for some beef in the middle to help stop the run. So
we certainly need to do that.
Then in the round four, because the Packers love DB so much, they're going to take Shakir Brown, the corner out of Michigan State, at 135. Then they have two fourth-round picks, and then they're going to take Bobby Brown, defensive tackle from Texas A&M, another big beef guy. And then in the fifth round, I have them taking Chauncey Golston, a defensive end or outside linebacker out of Iowa. I'll be shocked if he makes it all the way to the end of the fifth round.
Not hearing any wide receivers here.
No, I don't have them taking any wide receivers.
Aaron's not going to be happy.
Because they don't need wide receivers. They went all the way to the championship game with what they have.
Yeah, I wonder if Aaron agrees.
So anyway, then in the other fifth-round pick, I have them taking Garen Wallow, a linebacker out of TCU. And then round six, they have two picks. I have them taking Quentin Bohanna, a defensive tackle, and more beef out of Memphis. And then Shamar Jean-Charles, a corner out of Appalachian State. Yes, I said it that way for you, Shauna. Appalachian State.
Appalachian.
Because in Kentucky and West Virginia and Tennessee, they don't say Appalachian. Mm-hmm. They say Appalachian.
Heaven forbid.
Then in the seventh round, just throwing a dart at the dartboard, I haven't taken Justice Rice, a linebacker out of Arkansas State. So there you go, Brian. There's your
draft.
All your
count
picks.
Count on it.
Yes. Lock it down.
Write it down.
Lock it down.
Definitely.
That's what they're going to do. So then our third email Thank you for emailing Brian. We'll keep him coming. Our third email comes from Daniel Hooks. Daniel Hooks is a father of three boys and a little girl down there in North Carolina.
Daniel Hooks was a man.
Daniel Hooks is a man. He's a very good man. He says, hey, guys. He says, hi, guys. Now that we're starting to get a clearer picture of our national soccer team, what do you think our ceiling is in the 2022 World Cup? How far will we go? Well, since the men's national team just got beat by Costa Rica and knocked out of the Olympics, so we are not going to have a team playing in the Olympics this coming up summer. I don't really hold out a whole lot of hope for our national team in the World Cup. First of all, we have to make the World Cup, and I don't actually hold out hope that that's a lock.
The only way I would know is if the talking heads on sports radio were saying that we were any good, and I haven't heard a peep.
And supposedly, we actually left several of our best players out of the game at Costa Rica that we lost. And that's just really sad, because if we had won, we would have clinched a berth into the Olympics, and we didn't take the game seriously, and we lost. We actually scored. It's basically an own goal where we kind of scored on ourselves, and we ended up losing 2-1. So
soccer for me is like golf is for everybody else here. Like, I can't sit down and waste my time watching it. I just can't do it.
I am not a fan of golf. I mean, of golf or soccer. So,
Is boring and slow, but I still love it. You know, but soccer is boring and slow, and I don't have any interest.
Okay, so that's fine. But I'm just
indoor soccer, a whole different ball game.
Just trying to answer his question here. So
yeah, I get it.
I'm sorry, Daniel, but I don't hold out a whole lot of hope for the U.S. men's national team.
Yeah, so I'm patriotic, so I would hope, you know, for my country to do well always. But yeah, sorry to interrupt you.
No, you're fine. So those are the emails we got. So those of you, please feel free to shoot us an email, especially if you're somewhat related to Rich and you teach the Espanol and are interested in some private tutoring and stuff. So. Yeah, so feel free that sportswithfoxandfrank@gmail.com, sportswithfoxandfrank@gmail.com. That's feel free to shoot us an email. We love to get emails, so thank you for that.
That's why we continually beg you to send them.
Yes, and we got three in 1 week, so I'm really fired up.
We go like 4 weeks now, we're fine.
Well, no, keep sending them.
Oh, wait, yeah, keep sending them. Yeah. That's it.
So we're going to move on to the NFL now. And, Frank, any strong feelings about this week's news in the NFL before I get into what I want to talk about?
Deshaun Watson now has not only a accusation, but this time it's a criminal case against him.
Well, they've opened an investigation.
Right.
They don't have a case yet.
But it changes things a little, because the other ones were just civil cases. So I'm not sure where all this is going, but in this country, you're innocent until proven guilty, so I wish him well. And it's just kind of disheartening to see all this happening, though. I don't like to see it from any player, you know, even the accusations. So I'm just wondering what all that means. I do think it means we're not going to see anybody in any hurry to try and trade for him. So it's kind of Houston's in a difficult situation now that they had no interest in trading him in the first place. So they're stuck with him. I don't want to put it that way, but you know what I mean. And it's just kind of interesting. So
I'll be shocked if he plays one snap this year.
Yeah, I think I will be too.
You know, I just don't see it happening. I think that the commissioner is going to put him on the commissioner's exempt list.
Yeah, not to assume anybody's guilt.
No, but I think because of the whole of the swirling story, he's going to put him on the commissioner's exempt
list. And the NFL, like they always do, will do their own investigation. Coordinate with the police department and find out what merit might be there, and then they will act accordingly.
True. So, you know, we talked about the big trade last week. We talked about the trade of the 49ers going up to Miami at number 3 and giving Miami the number 12 pick, and then Miami coming back with Philadelphia and going up to number 6 and Philadelphia going back to number 12.
Mm-hmm.
So we talked all about that and everything. But then this week, the interesting news that broke was that supposedly the 49ers at the number 3 overall pick have extreme interest in the Alabama quarterback, Mac Jones.
Unfortunately for them, he may not be there when...
At three?
No, the Jets might take Wilson, right? Not Jones.
Well, so there are five, projected to be five first-round quarterbacks this
year. I understand.
Lawrence is going to go number one overall to the Jaguars. And then number two is the Jets, and they're kind of a wild card, but they supposedly like the BYU quarterback, Wilson.
Yeah,
which is
who I've heard the Niners would actually want. But that could be wrong.
But supposedly, when Miami, Philadelphia, and San Francisco inquired about the Jets' willingness to move, the door was slammed shut in their face, and they were told the Jets aren't moving. So
it's probably more of an indication that they're looking at Wilson, right?
Correct. And then, so the question is, at number three, what do you do? And most of the draft so-called experts, and especially the ones that I follow, I really like Dane Brugler of The Athletic. He just does an exhaustive work. He calls it the Beast. It's basically a draft guide, and it's well over 100 pages, and over 200 athletes are all profiled in there with their height, weight, speed, and all kinds of drills and everything like that. It's basically all the information you need in one place. And being the draft nerd I am, I really like him, and especially since he's on the Dallas Cowboys draft shows throughout the week leading up to the draft, I get to hear him, you know, firsthand talk about a lot of these players. Well, he says that he has Mac Jones as the fifth of the five first-round quarterbacks, which means he has the Ohio State quarterback ahead of him, and he also has the North Dakota State quarterback ahead of him, ahead of Mac Jones as well. And the question is, why would San Francisco go all the way up to number three if they would possibly be able to get, if they could possibly get their guy at six, Mac Jones at six, if they traded with the Eagles instead of going all the way up to three with Miami? Because the Eagles had a for sale sign on that number six pick for quite some time. So the question is, why did they go all the way up there? And no one can answer that with any definitiveness. But this past week was the Alabama Pro Day, and Kyle Shanahan, the head coach of the 49ers, and John Lynch, their general manager, were present there, and they were keeping a very close eye on Mac Jones as he was out there performing on the field. So what are your thoughts there, Frank? The fifth-ranked quarterback at the third overall pick.
So, first of all, the pro day, I don't know what the Niners get out of that. You know, you can watch tape if you want to see how good Mac Jones is. And so that's as far as going to the pro day.
Well, since there was no combine this year, though, they get the opportunity to time him in the 40. They get the opportunity to put him through some drills and things like that, and check his medicals and stuff, too. So the pro day does have more value this year than in the past, but I understand what you're saying.
Yeah. So I don't know that they get anything more out of the pro day than what they saw on tape. They may, like you made a good point there. But I think that Jimmy Garoppolo's days in San Francisco are clearly numbered. So it seems obvious to me that they moved up to get a quarterback. And will they settle for
Nick Mullins?
A quarterback that they might not think is the next coming? I suppose, or they wouldn't have moved to three. They're not doing it for seemingly any other position. So as far as Mac Jones goes, I know enough about, since I don't follow college really closely, I know enough to say that Mac Jones played for Alabama, had all the tools to work with, so it's hard to gauge how good he could be in the NFL.
Well, at the same, yes, I hear that, and I hear that argument a lot about Mac Jones.
Wide open receiver is a great protection.
Well, yes and no. You know, if you watched a lot of it, he put the ball right on the numbers, and it's one thing to have a wide open receiver, but it's another thing to consistently hit those receivers in stride so that the player doesn't have to slow down or have to jump to get the ball. They just are able to reach out, catch the ball, and keep moving.
I think it's a different game in the NFL when you got guys coming all over from all over the place. It's going to be more the case than it was in college to just be able to stand there and throw the ball accurately with nobody putting any pressure on you. It's hard to gauge.
Well, he did see pressure. He did, not as much as a lot of the other guys, but the big knock on him is his athleticism. He's not the the athlete in terms of the threat with his legs that the other guys are.
I know that he'll need to be in that offense, though, so he might be a fit there in that aspect.
Right.
They don't necessarily use their quarterback that way. Right. So, yeah, I mean, Shanahan certainly, there's a lot of feeling that, you know, he's one of these young, quarterback innovative guys, right, offensively. So if he likes them, then there's something to be said for that, I would say.
Did you happen to catch any of the Florida Pro Day? It was all over ESPN and the NFL Network.
I did not.
The University of Florida had their Pro Day. Everybody's talking about Kyle Pitts, the tight end from Florida, and he ran a blazing fast 40 time. He was a beast on the in the drills and especially on the bench press.
Right.
And they measured his wingspan is like humongous. His catch radius is ridiculous. And the stat coming out was that all year long in the 2 years that he started for Florida, he has not had one drop.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
I heard that stat.
Not one dropped ball. And that is just phenomenal.
It's impressive.
But I stayed tuned and was watching the quarterback for Florida throw the ball. And to be honest with you, I was not impressed even a little bit.
Where do you see Pitts going?
Pitts is going to go in the top 10 before
Dallas.
You have
a team in mind or not?
I think I wouldn't be surprised to see him go 4 to Atlanta.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised to see him go to Denver at 9. Or somebody trade up for him because, you know, I know there hasn't been a great track record of first round tight ends panning out in the NFL, but he's more comparable supposedly to Megatron than he is to an actual tight end.
Yeah, wide receiver type skills.
Calvin Johnson is who Megatron is.
That's what I understand.
So, you know, I think you're. If you're in the market for a player, I think he's the one to get.
Okay.
But I was watching Kyle Trask, the quarterback from Florida, and he was a pretty steady quarterback for a while. He was actually in the conversation as a Heisman candidate for most of this past season. And much to my surprise, the team that has come out and showed the most interest and supposedly is in love with him is actually the New Orleans Saints. The New Orleans Saints are in love with Kyle Trask. Hmm. And that just kind of surprised me. Sean Payton has been known to sort of a quarterback whisperer. A lot of people give him the credit for developing Tony Romo, for taking Drew Brees from a quarterback that was a good quarterback and turning him into a Hall of Fame quarterback. With his system and what he was able to do.
Deserves some credit, I suppose.
Definitely. And so as a quarterback whisperer, you know, they think that he can coax greatness out of Kyle Trask.
Yeah, we'll see if that happens.
Yeah.
So,
all right, well, then I have a list here of the top 20 NFL free agents that are still available. Just let me know if any of these guys tickle your fancy, Frank, and what you think any of these guys are, not necessarily for the Cowboys, but just...
I'll try to think of a team as you say the names.
Okay, cornerback Richard Sherman, number one.
He could help an already good defense, is how I see it, like a New England.
Right? I personally think he's more name than player.
Yeah, I mean, he struggled with injuries last year. He's older, but... I think if he wasn't the main cog in the defense, he could help a team like New England.
Offensive tackle Mitchell Schwartz from the Kansas City Chiefs.
Well, we know the Giants don't have a lot of cap room, but when I think of offensive lines, I think of the Giants.
And Schwartz is coming off an injury, so it'll be interesting to see who gives him a chance.
Yeah.
Then number three is wide receiver Antonio Brown.
So he's not going to stay in Tampa? Is that a given?
Well, he's not been signed by Tampa yet.
Yeah. Well, Green Bay would use a top-notch wide receiver. I don't know if they'd want a guy with his character, history of character or not, but they come to mind.
I mean, it was impressive the way that Tom Brady was able to befriend him and hold him accountable. And
the coach, too. He basically said, we're not putting up with anything. One mistake and you're gone.
Right.
So I kind of think he'll fall back into Tampa.
I do, too. Defensive end, Jadeveon Clowney.
Yeah, that's an interesting... person there.
He's got all, he still has all the height, weight, speed, everything, strength that you're looking for in a dominant defensive end, but it has not translated on the field.
Yeah, it's another player that I feel like will end up, that kind of player will end up on a team that's already got a pretty good defense, right? He's not going to be the savior on the defense. So I don't know if anybody would dump a lot of money into a guy like him unless he could just help them, like a Kansas City or somebody like that.
Then tackle Russell Okung. This will be his 12th season, so he is getting a little long in the tooth, but he still's getting it done.
Yeah, I mean, offensive line's so important, so there could be a series of teams that would be interested in a guy like him at the right price.
Then one of the offensive tackles that I love because I love his story, Alejandro Villanueva from the Steelers.
Yeah, that was kind of a big loss for the Steelers. So I was kind of surprised to see him leave. Yeah, I mean, that's a big name. You could see him landing somewhere.
Yeah, I think if you moved him from left tackle to right tackle, I think you might have quite a find there. Wide receiver T.Y. Hilton.
T.Y. has still got plenty in the tank, I think. I think he ends up back on
I heard a rumor that Colts. He's going back to the Colts.
Yeah.
Cornerback Malcolm Butler from Tennessee. He was a cap casualty, not necessarily a play
situation. Yeah, Butler's made a whole career out of one interception in the Super Bowl. It was a big play and a heady play also. Not sure about a landing spot, but, you know, he's a serviceable player.
What about Denver safety Kareem Jackson?
Safety is a position that a lot of teams are needing.
Not a whole lot of money going out to safeties this year.
Yeah. Seattle? I don't know.
Okay. And then we're only going to do the top 10 here. Cornerback Brian Poole from the Jets had a decent year. Didn't really, you know, distinguish himself, but also didn't get caught for any real big plays.
Yeah. I mean, it's a name I recognize. I'm not totally sure about what he could provide. But, you know, again, it's a guy I think will be picked up by somebody.
Okay. So yesterday, Frank, was National Peanut Butter and Jelly Day.
Mm.
So,
want to hear my peanut butter and jelly story?
Yes, let's hear your peanut butter and jelly story.
When I was probably around 7 or 8, I lived in Piscataway, New Jersey, and I was riding my bike along eating a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, because at that time, I guess I didn't know I didn't like peanut butter. But I'm eating the sandwich, and a bumblebee flew in my mouth. And from that point on, Frank didn't eat peanut butter.
So a bumblebee ruined your peanut butter?
Pretty much, but I just don't like it, really. I'll eat peanut butter if it's with chocolate, like a Reese's or something like that. I'll eat a peanut butter cookie, maybe. But I don't like peanut butter by itself or even with jelly. But the game sounds fun.
My father used to walk up to the peanut butter jar with a spoon and dip into the peanut butter and just, like, walk away licking the spoon with the peanut butter on it.
I don't think he's alone on that one.
No, but I'm just saying.
I will say one thing about peanut butter. It's helped me get dogs to eat when they're over my house. Like, some dogs are grazers, and some dogs eat all their food in one sitting. And my dog was an eating all in one sitting, but if the other dog left food in its dish, my dog would eat it. So in order to get the dogs to eat all their food at one time, peanut butter was the trick. So it's a popular food among dogs.
Okay. So who do you think, Frank, goes together in the sports world, like peanut butter and jelly?
So my first thought with that, they're not together anymore, but it would be Belichick and Brady.
Yeah.
We've talked about a lot, and the duo of Belichick and his coaching and Brady and his leadership on the field and athletic ability, of course, to me resonates. So I thought of those two first. Those are the first things, two people that came to mind.
All right. I think of the Philadelphia Phillies, and losing goes together like peanut butter and jelly.
Wow.
So
you can say that about a few teams. I mean,
no team in history has lost more than the Philadelphia Phillies.
Really?
Yes. We've lost over 10,000 games.
Jeez.
Yep.
Let's see. I should have given this more thought when you brought it up before the podcast.
I tried to give you a heads up
on it. I know. I didn't run it through my brain, though.
Oh, my word. The Phillies won again.
Hey, congratulations.
Wow.
I thought you said they were on tonight.
We're like butter.
Apparently they had a...
We're on a roll.
Afternoon game.
4:05 start.
Yeah, I can't... Nothing's coming to mind, but you give me another one and I'll start thinking.
Okay. Let me think of another one then. Let's see.
Is that a drum roll?
No, that was me blowing air
kinda
through my lips.
Kind of sounded like a drum roll, though.
No, drum roll with a...
No, that doesn't mean the other thing can't kind of sound like a drum roll.
Okay. Rich using his phone.
Yes, Rich in his phone, but that's not sports.
Oh, okay, sorry. peanut butter and jelly. Two guys that were good friends, really good friends. I think of the unlikely friendship of Larry Bird and Irving Magic Johnson. I think of, you know, them as being these fierce and torrid competitors on the floor, on the court. But then off the court, they were dear friends and still are to this day. And, you know, they go together really well. And supposedly he was, Magic recently was in some really intense interview, and he was giving, you know, it was a serious thing. And all of a sudden his phone rang and he said, hold on a second. And he had to go and he stepped out and he took the call and he came back and they said to him, who was that? And he said, oh, it was Larry. And most people don't know this, but Irvin's brother's name is Larry. So they just assumed it was his brother. And he said, no, it wasn't my brother. It was Larry Bird. And so, you know, the two of them are dear friends. So, yeah, they go together like peanut butter
and jelly. And one thing about that is, you know, the part of what makes them peanut butter and jelly is the fact that they kind of needed each other.
Sure.
In a sense to make for the great moments.
Right. They ushered in a golden age of the NBA.
It did.
You know, that the early 80s. Well, the late 70s all the way through the beginning of the 90s, you know, it seemed like the Lakers or the Celtics were in the finals every year, at least one of them, and several times against each other. And they really brought a lot of attention to the NBA and brought a lot of fans to the table that only the Michael Jordan era took to another level. And then it's really kind of declined. And then when LeBron came on the scene, it started to tick back up again. You know, they really took the NBA, which was a floundering league at the time, to some really great heights.
It was fun to watch in those days. I think of boxing, right? Go back far enough to remember Muhammad Ali and Angelo Dundee, his trainer.
Okay.
You know, peanut butter and jelly there. I mean, Ali with the big personality, Dundee, you know, obviously was able to bring more out of him.
Right, get the best out of him.
Yeah.
In training and what they're able to do. What about Jack Nicklaus and
Arnold Palmer?
Sure.
Absolutely. You know? Fierce competitors, both of them. And, you know, you got Nicklaus holds the record for most majors. I'm not sure what records Palmer holds, but they were both amazing in their day. And they played around the same time, right? So... yeah, that's a big one.
I think of Chrissy Evert and
I was just thinking tennis.
Martina Navratilova? Mm-hmm. Yeah, the two of them, and how, you know, as a kid, I enjoyed watching them play against each other in female tennis.
No doubt.
I'll be honest and say I thought Chrissy Evert was really cute.
Oh yeah, me too.
She was kind of America's sweetheart.
Navratilova, really an amazing athlete.
Absolutely.
I mean, so.
The only female tennis player that even comes close that you can compare her to is Serena herself. So, in
good
my
person
opinion.
Too. I saw a bit on ESPN about the two of them. You know, so your peanut butter and jelly analogy is perfect because the show was all about those two being the competitors that they were in the era that they played in and what they meant to women's tennis.
Sure. All right, well, that's about all I've got here, so we're going to give Rich a break, and we're going to cut the podcast off here. So when we do that, I turn it over to my friend Frank.
Yeah, we're going to start by just telling you about our church. So first of all, tomorrow's Easter, and by the time you listen to this, Easter will be over, but we wanted to let you know, we're believers, we're Christian believers, and we want to remind you that Jesus made a great sacrifice for all of us, and, you know, that brings me to our church. Good Friday was yesterday where Christ was crucified, and tomorrow is Resurrection Sunday. And so we're looking forward to celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. And at our church tomorrow, we have, and every Sunday, we have two services, 9 o'clock and 11 o'clock. Our church is First Baptist Church in Phillipsburg, New Jersey. We're at 810 Red School Lane. And yes, we are in person. We also have an option for you to go online if you need to, if you feel like you don't want to come in person, but we'd love to see you there. And you can reach us, you can catch us on Facebook by going on and punching in First Baptist Church, Phillipsburg, and the page will pop up and you can watch the sermon, the whole service online. Or you can go to YouTube and do the same exact thing, punch in First Baptist Church, Phillipsburg. But we'd love to see you there, Pastor Tim, Pastor John, Pastor Doug, who do so much for our church and leading us. And we just have a very welcoming group of people that attend our church. We'd love to see you there.
810 Red School Lane in Phillipsburg. It's actually Lopatcom, but it's Phillipsburg address. And 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock and 11 yep. o'clock are the service times. And if you have any kind of concerns or anything, we do take all the precautions, social distancing. Absolutely. Everybody wears a brand new clean mask. We have bottles of water for you because, we're not supposed to be using water fountains, at least community water fountains and things like that. So we've tried to take every precaution possible to ensure your safety and the safety of everybody else that comes to the church. So, we'd love it if you'd give us a chance and stop by.
Yeah, so if you're local, to Phillipsburg area and you're looking for a church, we think you'd be really happy there. Also, if you want to check us out, just see what we're about, we have a website. It's www.fbcpeberg.org. www.fbcpeberg.org. Go check us out.
All right, Frank. Thanks for hanging out with me here tonight and taking care of this. Rich, thanks for all that you do and all the doodling and phone work that you did there. So,
may the love of Christ fill your heart.
Peace.
Football, baseball, tennis, basketball, even sports exotic.
Oh.
You geek guys in soccer, and if it's a sport, they've got it.
Yeah.
They have weird conversations about anything they think.
Oh.
They have so much in common, it's like their brains are in sync.
Twins.
We got Fox with the jokes. We got Frank with the knowledge.
Oh.
They care about all ages. They talk about pro league and college.
Is.
They have that high quality content talking about the teams with their big boy shoes and their big boy dreams on.
Yeah, you know who it is. Sports Fellowship. Number one. Follow Fox and Frank now.